We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 12. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Eva Metta Nikaritam, Prishtavan Yat Bhavan Mama, Ninang Yam Riyamananam, Manusheshu Manishinam. Translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, as you have inquired for me, as to the duty of the intelligent man who is on the threshold of death, so I have answered you. Mukam karati vachalam bangam blankayate girim yakripam tamaham bande shi gurum kinitavinam om jnana tibrandasya gyananjana sharakaya chakshumilitam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice summary of chapters 1 and chapter 2, and the first part of chapter 3, which we're going to read today. And this summary is found in the 24th verse of this chapter, paragraph 1. So I'm going to read the summary of Srila Prabhupada, because it's very interesting. And it will give us an overview of the of what we have so far read in this canto. This is the purport of verse 24, paragraph 1. Prabhupada says, we should note with profit that in the first three chapters of the second canto, a gradual process of development of devotional service is being presented. In the first chapter, the first step in devotional service for God consciousness by the process of hearing and chanting has been stressed, and a gross conception of the personality of Godhead in his universal form for the beginners is recommended. By such a gross conception of God through the material manifestations of his energy, one is enabled to spiritualize the mind and senses and gradually concentrate the mind upon Lord Vishnu, the Supreme, who is present as a supersoul in every heart and everywhere in every atom of the material universe. The system of Panch Upasana recommending five mental attitudes for the common man is also enacted for this purpose, namely gradual development, worship of the superior that may be in the form of fire, electricity, the sun, the mass of living beings, Lord Shiva, and at last the impersonal supersoul, partial representation of Lord Vishnu. They are all nicely described in the second chapter, but in the third chapter, further development is prescribed after one has actually reached the stage of Vishnu worship or pure devotional service. And the mature stage of Vishnu worship is suggested herein in relation to the change of heart. So that is Srila Prabhupada's summary. And the important thing that we can see throughout all the chapters is that we want to change our desires. The desires must be changed from material to spiritual. And today's verses, especially the conclusion, will also emphasize this change in desires. So Shukadeva Goswami in this verse has explained that now he has answered the questions again of Maharaj Parikshit as the duty of one who is on the threshold of death. But so he has said, a thoughtful man should drink Bhagavata Katamrita. That was the last verse we heard. Pibanti Bhagavata Katamritam. That's what a thoughtful man should do. So, in this verse, there is a word, manishinam, not simply a man, what should a man do on the threshold of death, but what should manishinam do, what should an intelligent man do, what is the duty of an intelligent man on the threshold of death. So, mriyamananam, this is at the threshold of death. So, the question of an intelligent man should be, what is the purpose of life? Why am I suffering? What is my duty? So Shukadeva Goswami has answered this question. In the beginning of this purport, Srila Prabhupada says, in the human society all over the world, there are millions and billions of men and women, and almost all of them are less intelligent because they have very little knowledge of the spirit soul. So Prabhupada, lecturing on this verse, said, this is our challenge. There are millions and billions of men and women all over the world, but they're not at all intelligent. This is our challenge, Prabhupada says. He says, so the Krishna conscious movement may be taken as other people as crazy. But we challenge that you are all crazy. So therefore, Prabhupada said, we have written this book, this pamphlet, Who is Crazy? And this was right in the, I told that on Vyas Puja Day that I got this book. This was the first book I got before I became a devotee, Who is Crazy? So Brahmananda Prabhu, after he heard me speak, he told me, he filled me in on the details of how this little book was written, Who is Crazy? He said one time, Brahmananda and Gargamuni's mother came to visit Srila Prabhupada. And the mother said to Srila Prabhupada, you have made my sons crazy. So Prabhupada didn't answer right away, but that evening in class, he gave a lecture on who is crazy. And that's what how this pamphlet came to be. And that's the pamphlet I got. That was the first thing I got. And I read it. I couldn't understand much of it. But anyway, I became a devotee somehow or other. But this is a fact that nobody is intelligent. In Kali Yuga, everybody is crazy. Crazy men, no intelligence. Prabhupada says, they don't know what is spirit soul. And that means animal consciousness, dogs and cats. We'll hear more about that tomorrow. Hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. This is the intelligence of the people in modern civilization. But the kind of person that Shukadeva is describing is Manishinam. Very intelligent person. He's thoughtful. He's questioning, okay, I have to die. So what should I do to prepare for death? And that was Maharaj Pariksha's question, and the whole Bhagavatam is the answer to this question. So at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, a Manishinam person like Maharaj Pariksha must therefore take, so here's what, of course, the conclusion, must therefore take to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and fully engage himself in devotional service, hearing, chanting the holy name, pastimes of the Lord, which are all Hari Katamrita. This action is especially recommended when one is preparing for death. Pibanti Bhagavata Katamritam, as we heard. So if we want to be safe from death, then this is the process that Shukadeva is giving, how to be safe from death and what is our duty. So Srila Prabhupada, in his lecture and this verse in Los Angeles, 1972, he gave a very interesting answer to this question on what is our duty. First, he said, chant 16 rounds regularly, without fail, follow the regulative principles, hear about Krishna, and preach about Krishna. Every one of you should become a spiritual master. That's what Prabhupada said, 1972. So now it's 2002. It's 30 years later, so Prabhupada is telling the same thing. Every one of you becomes spiritual master. It's not very difficult, he says, because we're hearing about Krishna, so we can speak about Krishna. It's not difficult. He says, if I hear Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then I can tell someone else. That much I know. So that is the process. Prabhupada said that in India, people have said to him, Swamiji, you have done something so wonderful. And Prabhupada said, I'm not a magician. I have not done anything magic. But one thing I did, or I did not do, he said, there's one thing. Anybody pick up? What is the one thing? He says, one thing I can take for my credit that I did not, what? Yeah. Change anything. He says, I did not adulterate the words of Krishna. Yes? Is that what you were going to say? Yeah. Did not deviate an inch from my guru. So even more determined there. So Prabhupada said, that's my credit. He said, I did not like to take the position of Krishna, but I always remained servant of Krishna. So many of these swamis and gurus, they go to America, or they went, and they take Krishna's position. So Prabhupada didn't do that. So Prabhupada said, this is my secret. And he says, you can also do this too. And the magic will act as soon as you become a pure devotee. And it will be done by Krishna and not by you. That's what he said. So he said, just like a child, nobody can hurt him. He depends on his father. So if we depend on Krishna, then we can do the same as Srila Prabhupada. We can also preach, just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jaradeko Tariko Krishna Upadesh. So then Prabhupada at the end, he said, you simply say what Krishna says, surrender to me. Krishna says, surrender to me, I'll give you protection. And Prabhupada said, Krishna is not a liar. Krishna is not inefficient. He's strong. He's sufficiently opulent. And so you simply do what he says, believe in his words, and surrender, and don't spoil this human form of life. Before death, we must prepare to go back to Godhead. And so this is Prabhupada's message to us on this verse. And I thought I would pass it on, because it's very nice. So now we're going to read a lot of verses on demigod worship. Before class today, I was reading them to my son, and he was choosing a few that he thought might be interesting for him. I asked him, which one do you want to worship? And then he said, yeah. He picked about three or four out of the list. So anyway, I'll read them to you, and I hope you don't pick any. But anyway, verses 2-7. One who desires to be absorbed in the impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence should worship the master of the Vedas, Lord Brahma, or Brihaspati, the learned priest. One who desires powerful sex should worship the heavenly god Indra. One who desires good progeny should worship the great progenitors called Prajapatis. One who desires good fortune should worship Durga Devi, superintendent of the material world. One desiring to be very powerful should worship fire. One who aspires only after money should worship the Vasus. One should worship the Rudra incarnations of Lord Shiva if he wants to be a great hero. One who wants a large stock of grain should worship Aditi. One who desires to attain the heavenly planets should worship the sons of Aditi. One who desires a worldly kingdom should worship Vishvadev. And one who wants to be popular with the general mass of population should worship the Sadhya demigod. One who desires a long span of life should worship the demigods known as Ashwini Kumaras. A person desiring a strongly built body should worship the earth. One who desires stability in his post should worship the horizon and the earth combined. One who desires to be beautiful should worship beautiful residents of Gandharva planet. One who desires a good wife should worship the Apsaras and Urvashi society girls of the heavenly kingdom. One who desires domination over others should worship Lord Brahma, the head of the universe. One who desires tangible fame should worship the personality of Godhead. And one who desires a good bank balance should worship the demigod Varuna. If one desires to be a greatly learned man, he should worship Lord Shiva. And if one desires a good marital relation, he should worship the chaste goddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. So verses actually 2-9 are very similar, and they explain the Vedic system to fulfill material desires. If you want to fulfill a material desire in the Vedic system, you have to worship a superior person. You can't just go and work hard. Actually, I don't want to talk about that because I want to ask you. So this is the Vedic system. You worship a superior person and you get his mercy, and then your desires are fulfilled. So what is the Western system? What is our, not our, but the Western culture? What is their system of fulfilling material desire? Madhuri? You're the architect of your own destiny. So whatever you put in, you'll get out. Yes, Sankirtan? You make a hole into the earth and dig out the oil. Yes. Then you get industry. Yes. This is the Western culture. So the Western system, you trust yourself. You're your own authority. You create your own destiny. You create your own reality. They say the power is yours. You have the power within. You can do it. All these motivational speakers, they tell you. Yes? Isn't, what do they say? Fire. There's a fire within you, and you have to tap it. And then you can be everything that you want to be. So the problem is that it may and it may not work. And the Vedic system, you fulfill your desire and you get purified. But in the Western system, you may or may not get your desire, and surely you will be degraded. So this is the difference. But even demigod worship is being condemned. We'll see, in, of course, in the next few verses. Now, if you look at the Sanskrit, there's one word there, almost in every line. You'll find one word. 19 times in these verses. Kama, kama. Yes. This is the mentality of the demigod worshippers. Kama. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita about them? Yes. Kama istaistar hitagana. Yes, their intelligence is stolen by kama, by lust. So all these people who have all these this kama, they have no intelligence. They are less intelligent. So this is Krishna's verdict, and this will also be the verdict of Shukadeva Goswami. So now, actually in a few days, in about 2 weeks, it will be Durga Puja time. And so in Calcutta, it's very big. They close all the roads. They erect these huge pandals, and they have cinema music going day and night to worship Durga. And if you try to go past them, then they'll stop you and get as much money out of you as they can. And so they're worshiping. This is their worship. They want. They're asking, Dhanam Dehi, Rupa Dehi, Balam Dehi, Dehi, give me this, give me that. So they're worshiping Durga. This is puja. It's business, actually. They want something in return. So Prabhupada gives a nice example. That's in business, sometimes you want to get something out of another businessman. You want him to give you a job. You want to get a contract from him. So you take him, you flatter him, you take him out to lunch, and you feed him very nicely. And after the lunch is over, then you ask him, oh, would you give me this contract? Or would you give me this job? So you're not really trying to satisfy the man, although it appears that way. It appears like you're doing all these things, trying to be very nice and make him happy. But actually, what you really want is for him to do something for you. So this is the mentality of the demigod worshippers. It appears that, oh yes, we're worshipping so nicely, Durga, Ganesh. But actually, if you watch how it's done, in Goa, they worship Ganesh. So they worship him very nicely for one day, and then after the day's over, they throw him in the ocean. They figure, okay, now puja finish, we got what we want, and we throw him away. And in the ocean in Goa. Oh, 11 days. Oh, yeah. You know, and I think it's 3 days. Yeah, that's in Bombay. Yeah, I was in Goa. It was, yeah. Yeah, it's minimized. 11 days. Wow. So anyway, so they spend at least 11 days of the year worshipping Ganesh or Durga. But at the end, they throw the deity in the ocean or the Ganga, whatever. And so this is their puja. They're not really trying to please the deities. So, kama istaistar hritagyana. But there's one good thing, Prabhupada says, in this demigod worship. There is a touch of devotion. You know what it is, Vanamali? What's the good thing? They're accepting authority. Another point is that in any demigod, proper demigod worship, not talking about today's worship, but in any proper worship, you must have Narayana Shila when you worship the demigod. Because unless you have the Narayana Shila, then the demigod cannot give you the benediction. Because the demigod has to ask permission from Narayana to give the benediction. So Prabhupada quotes the demigod. The demigod is going to Narayana Shila. He's going to Narayana, and the demigod is saying, oh, this person wants this benediction from me, and he's worshipping me. So should I give it to him or shouldn't I? So then Prabhupada said, yes, he says yes. So why does Narayana say yes when the demigod asks him, should I give this benediction? Then Narayana Shila says yes. Very nice reason why. Because they have accepted the demigod as the authority. Okay, that's close. Okay, Madan Gopa? Yes, it strengthens their faith. There's another reason also. I mean, it's all part of the answer, all the things you're saying. Yes, that's getting closer. Yes, you're getting really close. Shivendavan? Yes, the demigod acknowledges that darshan. Okay. Hi, Brusha. Yeah. Yes, that's a very good, and there's another half of that. That's the first half, Sankirtan. Yes. Okay, so that's pretty much it. That they're devotees, the demigods are devotees, they're servants of Krishna. And Krishna feels obliged. And Prabhupada says that Krishna wants to keep them in their position of authority. So therefore he says yes. Because the demigods, they're in authority. And if he says no, then the people will lose faith. You know, if the demigods don't give. So Krishna wants to, because they're his servants, he wants to keep them in their position. Nice position. And the example is Hiranyakashipu and Nrisimhadev. That Hiranyakashipu worshipped Lord Brahma. He asked so many things. I don't want to be killed in day. I don't want to be killed in night. So many things. And Nrisimhadev fulfilled each and every one. Just to keep the words of Lord Brahma true. And of course, Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita, Kshipram Bhavati, what is it? Yeah. What is it? No, not that one. Anyway, the one that Arjuna declared boldly, my devotee, Kantiya Patijanihi. Yeah, Name Bhakta Pranashiti. So this means that if a devotee says something, then Krishna must fulfill it. So the demigods give a benediction, then he must uphold that. Because they are his authorities. So just to keep the position of the authorities, then he says, yes, give the benediction. Now if you worship Krishna, you may not get what you desire. Prabhupada gives the example. If you go to the ocean and you pray to Krishna, Krishna, please give me a good fish. I want to catch a fish. So Krishna will never fulfill your desire, Prabhupada said. Because, and this is Krishna's mercy, because if you catch that fish, then next life, you'll have to become a fish and be caught by that fish, Prabhupada said. So therefore, he doesn't give that to you. It's not good for you. So, I don't know if I told this story before, but about the people in Malaysia, I heard about them, that they're very afraid. The tradition is that don't worship Krishna. They worship the demigods, but they're very afraid to worship Krishna. Because the tradition, the saying goes that if you worship Krishna, you'll forget everything and you'll lose everything. And especially if he has a flute in his hands. Don't worship Krishna. So they may worship, but without the flute. Because they're very afraid if he plays the... You know about that? In South India? And also, they take the flute out. Yes. They're afraid because if you hear the flute, then you might forget everything and leave all your opulence and just run off to Vrindavan and do something crazy. Yes, it's from Tamil Nadu because in Malaysia, many people from Tamil Nadu are there. So this is their tradition. They won't worship Krishna. And if they do, he can't have a flute. Because if you hear his flute, that's it. And so this is the problem. The demigod worshippers, they're afraid to go to Krishna because Krishna may not give them. And especially, he won't give it so quickly as Shiva, Ashutosh. So there's this karma. But Prabhupada says not only the karmis are bewildered, that even the gyanis, in the beginning, it says Brahma Varchasakamas too. So the gyanis, they also have desire. They also have karma. The word is used here. If you want to merge, this is also karma. Brahma Varchasa, Kamas too. So Prabhupada, in one lecture, he said the mudha, fool, wants to be a president of a country, a small mudha. And a very big mudha wants to be God. So this is the impersonalist, that he wants to be God. So he's a very big fool. He could not enjoy life without Krishna, so therefore, let me become Krishna. This is the solution to my problems. But devotees are akama. So we'll hear about this in a few verses. Verse 8 and verse 9. One should worship Lord Vishnu or his devotee for spiritual advancement in knowledge and for protection of heredity and advancement of a dynasty. One should worship the various demigods. 9. One who desires domination over a kingdom or an empire should worship the Manus. One who desires victory over an enemy should worship the demons. And one who desires sense gratification should worship the moon. But one who desires nothing of material enjoyment should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the purport, the explanation is given of this picture here, that many times people who worship the demigods, they preach Jatamat Tatapat. Whatever path you follow, it's all the same. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that this sort of preaching is not only against the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, this is the middle of the purport, or those of Srimad Bhagavatam, but is also foolish, just as it is foolish to claim that with the purchase of any travel ticket, one may reach the same destination. So this is the purport of this verse. And we'll go to verse 10, which is the verse you had to know, I think you have to know, for your exam. So we'll sing it. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama dharati tivrena bhakti yogena yache ca purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole Personality of Godhead. So broader vision, hear the word broader vision. What does this mean, broader vision? We heard about less intelligent means kama. So now we're hearing about somebody who has broader vision, not these less intelligent people. So what does this broad vision mean, actually? Divimba? Accept the authority of Krishna. Why is it broader? Sankirtan. Okay, Krishna's proprietor, controller, and friend. You see the whole picture. Whole picture means the demigods are also there, and they're parts of his body. Okay, broad vision. What's another understanding? Shivindavan. Yeah, limited. Yes, you're going beyond the material field. This is broad vision. Vanamali. Right. Okay. Nishingadev. Liberation. Okay. Yeah. Knows the difference between matter and spirit. Yes, that's broader vision. Yes. Sees Krishna in everything. Very broad vision. What's a Sanskrit word? Another Sanskrit word for somebody who has broad vision. Dear Mahatma, yes. Mahatma is the one because he's a Maha Atma. His Atma is Maha. Very big, very broad. He's expanded. Mandira, yes. Oh, right, okay. Yes, Dhira also can be in that category. Broad vision, yes. He broadens his activities when he takes sannyas and. And now, instead of serving the senses of a few people, he's for whole humanity, for Krishna. So akama, here we have different classes of people. Akama, they want nothing at all, except Krishna. They want Krishna. And they don't want to know anything except Krishna. So what's the advantage of knowing Krishna? And you know everything, right? And if you get Krishna, you get everything. If you know Krishna, you know everything. If you get Krishna, you get everything. So, and they don't want anything, but they get everything. So this is very nice. Akama. No desire except Krishna, but Krishna is everything. Then Sarvakama, he wants everything. Sarvakama. Unlimited desires. So his method, but he's not happy because his method is to work so hard. We'll see the picture, like an ass. Well, we have the picture, actually, but it's for tomorrow. Work very hard. Then moksha kama. He worked so hard, now he's disgusted, it's all false. But he couldn't get peace. And so therefore, let me merge. Let me become one. So he also, he has desire. He wants to become one. He has to work so hard, Prabhupada says, the mokshakami. What's the work of the mokshakami? What's the work of somebody who wants moksha? Not exactly. He's studying the Vedas. He has to study the Vedas. Prabhupada says he has to speculate. He has to interpret all the Vedic literatures to make God dead, to make God void, to make God impersonal, to make God null, nirvishesh, shunyavadi. This is his work, very hard work. Go through all the Vedas and kill God. That's the work of the mokshakamis, Prabhupada said. So it's also hard work, so they're not happy either. They're not very happy people. Only the devotees happy. Because he doesn't want anything. Now the yogis also, they want some mystic power, and they have to work so hard, asana, pranayam, for many, many years. Hard work, austerities, controlling the senses. And then they get their mystic city and they get famous. But the devotee is desireless. So what does it mean to be desireless? No desires? Desireless. Madhvanpuri. Our desire merges with Krishna's desire. We only want his desire. Parvati. Right, that's what Jiva Goswami says. That's very nice. Desirelessness means that one should feel happy only by experiencing the happiness of the Supreme Lord. Anything else for desireless. Yeah, so that's good. That's what Prabhupada says. Yes. Right. Pure bhakti yoga without karma and jnana. So my next question is, okay, now we know what it means to be desireless. Prabhupada gives the examples of the gopis of Vrindavan. They didn't want anything in return for their service. Very difficult not to want anything in return. At least somebody should recognize that you're doing something. But no, not even that. So why should we be desireless? Why? What is the reason? Yeah. Oh. Okay, it's not possible to enjoy, so that's a good reason to be desireless. At least we shouldn't desire anything here. In that sense, we should be desireless. Any other good reasons? That's a very good reason. You see how miserable it is, and if you live here a few years, Vanamali. Source of misery. Same thing. Yeah. You work for the satisfaction? A lot of hard work, yes. Abhinandan. Everything belongs to the Lord. So if we desire something, then we're a thief. That simple. That's why we should be desireless. Yes? Yeah, okay, that's good too. It's such a horrible place, and if we have material desires, then that will keep us here. That will keep us in this material world. So that's a good reason not to be to be desireless. That if we have desires, material desires, we'll stay here. And we don't want to stay here. Except for Madan Gopal, who wants to go to Brahmaloka. What's that? Yes, he's inviting. Yeah, Nishingadevi wants to come. No, oh, you changed your mind. Okay. Paramakarna. Yes. Never-ending desires. And actually, the reaction to doing sinful activity is that you get more desires. That's one of the reactions. Of course, the reaction is you'll get kicked, but at the same time, your desires will increase too. So that's a reaction. You know, this is just acting in this world. Darshan. Not part of our real nature, yes. Shivindavan. Okay, very good point. Devotional service must be a haituki, a pratyata, so that you become completely satisfied. So if we're desireless, if we have no desire, then only can we be satisfied. There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam, Ata Eva Shanta. Yes. Right. We have desires. We cannot be desireless. Very good point. So, what should we desire? Well, what do you say? Okay. It's our conscious position to desire the Lord's pleasure. Madri. Understand Prabhupada's desire and make it our desire. That's what we should desire. Nishingadev. We should desire devotional service to the Lord. Okay. Yes, Sari Purusha. We should desire what the Lord desires. Sometimes it's very hard, but that's what we should do. And if we do it, then we find out it's very nice. It's better than our plan. We have our plan, yes. Okay, we can desire to desire one day that we, anyway, that we desire to we get to that place where we're desireless and we only desire the Lord's pleasure. Even if we don't desire it, we can desire to desire it. Yes, Madhavendrapuri. Yes, our desire is fulfilled by satisfying his desire. I'll tell you what Prabhupada says we should desire. Of course, we know from Shikshastika what we should not desire. Nataram, Najanam, Nasundarim. Kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. So then Prabhupada says, we should desire, when we should say, Hare Krishna. Hare means Radharani, Krishna. He says, Hare Radharani, Krishna Lord. You are both present here. Kindly give me the chance to serve you. That should be our desire. Hare and Krishna. That's our desire. Very simple. Two words we remember. So Prabhupada said, this is akama. Just engage me in your service. Desire to serve Krishna. So now, Prabhupada is going to tell us something here about Vyasadeva's mind. Because Vyasadeva wrote this book. So what is his mentality behind this verse? Prabhupada says, first he says, Bhagavata. Bhagavata recommends, even though you're fool number one, you're demanding from Krishna Sarvakama, Mokshakama, still just worship Krishna. Because even though you're a rascal, he says, Vyasadeva is advising, all right, even though you're a rascal, you're full of desires, you want to become one, still worship Krishna. That's all right. Just don't go anywhere else. Yes. A pious person, free of desire? Okay, what? I can't quite hear you. Can a pious person be full of desires, is his question. And the answer is, yes. They can be full of pious desires. There are two kinds of desires, sinful and pious. So that's all within this world. The pious person wants to be, like here it says, philanthropic, altruism, these things. Okay, Sankirtan, I know you. Brahmaloka. Yes, a pious person can be full of desires. And this is the problem with Krishna consciousness, that not only do you become freed of all sinful reactions, you become free of all pious reactions also. All your good and all your bad is finished, so you only get Krishna. Whatever is happening to you is not sinful or pious reaction, but it's actually Krishna's mercy. It's changed. So it's wonderful, actually, if you believe it, if you're convinced that this is Krishna's mercy, then you have a very wonderful life. Yes. Yes, pious person. Pious. These people, the demigod worshippers are pious, actually. They're pious people. They're following the Vedas. Those who are following the Vedas, Karmakandis, they're pious. They're pious. Yeah. Chapter 10. Yes. Even pious things are inauspicious in the eyes of a devotee. Even the position of Brahma in the eyes of a devotee.
is inauspicious. So this is interesting. Uttarati, very intelligent. So Prabhupada says, don't worship these little demigods. Now there's a sentence in the purport that kind of confused me here. So I'll read it to you and see what you think. This is in paragraph 4. Maybe, let's see, it might be the end of the purport. Starts with as. Yes, the last sentence. Last sentence of the purport. Prabhupada says, as the unmixed sun ray is very forceful and is therefore called tivra, similarly, unmixed bhakti yoga of hearing, chanting, etc., may be performed by one and all, regardless of inner motive. Now, for me, inner motive means mixed devotional service. But here Prabhupada is saying, you can do unmixed devotional service even if you have an inner motive. So that seems very confusing. Yes, Amalagora. Yeah. Right. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, there's another statement in Bhagavad Gita. I think it's the purport of chapter 2, verse 70, where it says, you know, the material desires are coming and it's just like rivers entering the ocean. So it says something like the devotee, even though he has material desires, he's not disturbed by them, something like that. What does it say? Right. Yeah. Yeah, they're present. Although they're present. But he's not disturbed. Yeah. This is a test of Krishna consciousness. Yeah, you can look it up. Chapter 2, verse 70. Madhvendrapuri. Nectar of devotion. Bindu. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. You may have desires for karma and jnana. Acha. If it's uncovered, if you don't allow it to cover your bhakti, then it's pure bhakti. Uh-huh. So we can understand what Prabhupada is saying here. How you can have unmixed and mixed at the same time. Divyambar. Then Shivanam. Dhruva Maharaj. Right. Right. Okay. Okay, so Dhruva Maharaj is the example, and Prabhupada says even though he had a lower motive, the Lord did not accept the lower motive, and so he was successful. She accepted the service only. Good. Shivindavan. Right. Right. Yes. He's a fool. I'm more intelligent than him. Right. He said, why should I give him poison to drink? It's bish. If in Sanskrit, that the word poison, bish, and bishai, it's very close. Bishai, the things that we enjoy, the enjoyable things are bishai. And it's close to the word bish, or poison. So actually, it's poison. It's poison. Two pots of poison, karma and jnana. So if a mother, just like a mother, if you have a small child, and he's just starting to learn to crawl, or he's just learning to walk, and he goes for the poison, then you get that poison out of his hand as fast as you can. So Krishna too. Now somebody's going to Krishna, he's trying to go to Krishna, but he's going for the poison. So what will Krishna do? He'll take it out of the baby's hand. And so that's what it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Why should I give him poison? Instead, I'll give him the nectar of my lotus feet. He'll stick his toe in the baby's mouth. And then he'll get Charinamrita. Yes. Right. He had a lower motivation. Yes, that's true. Yeah, right. So he had the characteristic of this verse, Tivrena, with a great force. So if we do devotional service with great force, even though we may have some, those desires will be wiped out. Vanamali. Yes. Yes. So you quote this verse to them. It doesn't matter. Akama, Savakamova. You're learning the verse, so you can tell them. You know, see what Bhagavatam says. You worship Krishna. This is best. Madhavendrapuri. Last one. What's that? 216. Etavan Yoga Sankavyan. Yeah, I know them. The same. Oh, yeah. Hari Namana Kirtanam. Yeah, 11, verse 11. Yes. So again, it's coming again. So he's emphasizing this, Shukadev. Shukadev is emphasizing this. Again, it's found as, thank you for that reference, cross-reference, 2.1.11. You had to learn that, I believe, also. Eta nivrityamananam. Okay. So let's go on. Verse 11. All the different kinds of worshippers of multi-demigods can attain the highest perfectional benediction, which is spontaneous attraction, unflinchingly fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by the association of the pure devotee of the Lord. So here is the thing that is necessary for everyone on every path. He must have the association of the pure devotee of the Lord, because it doesn't matter who you are, you won't get success unless you mix your path with bhakti. And you won't get bhakti unless you get the association of the pure devotee of the Lord. The very important verse. Then verse 12, last verse for today. Transcendental knowledge in relation with the Supreme Lord, Hari, is knowledge resulting in the complete suspension of the waves and whirlpools of the material modes. Such knowledge is self-satisfying. Due to its being free from material attachment and being transcendental, it is approved by authorities. Who could fail to be attracted? Shukadev was attracted. So, the result of performing bhakti yoga is knowledge, very special knowledge. So in the previous verse, Shukadev glorifies the devotee because knowledge can only come from the devotee. And now he's glorifying the knowledge itself. In the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada talks about the relationships between the devotees. Bhagavad Gita 10.9, what does it say? Prabhupada quotes, Machita makata prana bodhayanta parasparam. The devotees, they're very happy talking, preaching to each other. Prabhupada says here, always engaged in the service of the Lord, and thus the pure devotees exchange feelings of ecstasy between themselves and relish transcendental bliss. Tushanti cha ramanti cha. This transcendental bliss is experienced even in the stage of devotional service, sadhana avastha, if properly undertaken under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. And in the mature stage, developed transcendental feeling culminates in realization of particular relationship with the Lord, by which living entity is originally constituted, up to the relationship of conjugal love with the Lord, which is estimated to be the highest transcendental bliss. Thus, bhakti yoga, being the only means of God realization, is called kaivalya. So kaivalya. Here in the Sanskrit, the word kaivalya is there. In what context is the word kaivalya used? Transcendental. Kaivalya samatha patas. It goes with pat, path. Transcendental path. It's also approved, yes. So it's the kaivalya path, the path of kaivalya. Usually when we hear the word kaivalya, we think of something else, merging into the Brahman. But actually, real kaivalya is bhakti yoga. That's how, this is what Prabhupada's explaining here. Why bhakti is real kaivalya. Narayana is known as kaivalya. This and the means which enable one to approach the Lord is called the kaivalya panta, or the only means of attainment of Godhead. This kaivalya panta begins from shavana. So this is, we're following the kaivalya panta, actually. That's what we're doing here. So this verse gives a very nice analogy about a whirlpool. How is the material world like a whirlpool? You're getting tossed around by the mind, the senses. Yes? If you imagine a whirlpool, and inside the whirlpool, there's car, there's money, there's house, there's everything you want. And as soon as you stick your hand in there to get it, what happens? You get sucked in. So it's like, that's how it's like a whirlpool, a material world. You just get sucked in very easily by the whirlpool. Sometimes you get caught in a whirlpool in the Jamuna or Ganga. Not Jamuna. Jamuna, well, yes, in rainy season it's possible. If it comes. But in Ganga, it's quite fierce. You can get sucked into a whirlpool very easily. So actually, but we're jumping in the material world. We're jumping into the whirlpool. We like it. We think, oh, this is exciting. This whirlpool, this adventure. This is life. We are being tossed, and this is fun. Being tossed by the waves. People sometimes drowning. Yes, well, that's life. You know, so, but this knowledge will stop it. Knowledge of transcendental knowledge will stop this whirlpool. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, don't be drowned. There's that song, let's see if I can find it. Oh yeah. Miche maya boshe jasho veshe kacho hobo dubu pai. Why are you being carried away by the waves of maya? And there's a punishment in the olden days that they put somebody under the water long enough for them almost to drown, and then they let them up and they can get a breath, and then they push them immediately down. So material life is like that. In the mode of passion, we're down. And when we get a breath, we're in the mode, finally. Now I'm happy. You get a breath. They let you get a breath of fresh air or breath, and you're up, mode of goodness, and then you're down again. So material life, very, very difficult. Where is the purport? Whirlpool, that's in the verse. This verse, waves and whirlpools, verse 12. Waves and whirlpools of the material modes. The waves and whirlpools. And so this is what's happening. This is the news in this material world. Actually, I can't remember, but in Mahabharata, Maharaj Yudhisthira was asked by Dharmaraj, what is the news? I can't remember, but he gave a very nice analogy. That actually there's a big frying pan and we're all being fried. And that's the news. And the stirring ladle is time or the sun, something like that. And the modes are there and everything's there and we're just being fried. And that is the news of this material world. Fried. So here the verse says, no, you should be Atma Prasada. Atma Prasada means that you should know that I am particle of Krishna, I'm servant of Krishna. I should not be fried. And when you understand this knowledge, then no more guna asanga, no more gunas. So Prabhupada gave a nice analogy that what happens when you connect with Krishna and you become free from the modes, it's just like if you're riding a bicycle at 10 miles an hour and there's a car ahead of you, close, going 60 miles, but you catch up that car and then you start going 60 miles an hour. So that's what happens when we connect with Krishna. We're having our little bit of happiness, but if we connect with Krishna, then we're fully happy. We get lots of ananda. Anandam buddhivardhanam. And so these things we can learn from Srimad Bhagavatam. Anandam buddhivardhanam. So the devotees hold tightly to Krishna's lotus feet, because that's what we're looking for, this knowledge. How to get out of this whirlpool, how to get out of this modes of nature. And the only way we can do that is to change our heart. So this is kind of the theme of these three chapters. And this, I think the name of this chapter, Pure Devotional Service, a Change of Heart. So the demigod worshippers, they don't want to change their hearts. They just want to keep it the way it is, keep the status quo, worship the demigods, and make my situation very nice. But a broad-minded person, he wants to go beyond. He wants to go to Krishna. So therefore, a broad-minded person, he worships Krishna. And he's desireless in any position, he's happy because he's with Krishna. So this is the so far we've studied these verses, and tomorrow Shonaka will speak again because Shukadeva has finished answering Parikshit's questions. So we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Dipyambar. Yeah. Yeah, this is a good point. Actually, somebody asked me this question in Moscow Temple. She's saying that I said that the Sarvakamis and the Mokshakamis, they work very hard. But the devotees also work very hard. So what's the difference? Somebody, when I was preaching in Moscow, somebody asked me that, you know, it seems to me like the Karmis, they work hard, but they're enjoying, and we work hard, and we're not enjoying like them. So what would you say? Such a person, devotee. We work hard too. Vishaka. Right. Chanting, dancing, feasting, a little bit of work. No work. It's all, I know, I remember that. All recreation, Prabhupada said. All recreation. No work. No work. All right, so if you think you're working, then you're in the material world. It's not devotional service. Shiva Navan. Yes, people have holidays. Permanent holiday. Your devotees are lazy. Why don't you get a job? Yeah, he gave a schedule. Wow. He gave the reporter his schedule. He said, yeah. The Prabhupada was working harder than the reporter. But this work is pleasure. Because Krishna is pleased. Abhinanda? Yeah. Yes, in jail a man is given a big hammer and he has to break rocks and he's suffering. Yes. Yes, if it's your own land and your own house, then you'll be very happy to break the rocks. Same activity. The consciousness is different. Yes, very good. The goal is different. Yes. Sankirtanas. No, it means, although he's in a very high position, loftiness means in a high position, very high position. Yes, akarma. So in that sense, it's no work because we get no reaction. That's another angle, darshan. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. Somebody may have volumes of work, but he's not offering it to Krishna. He's doing it for some other reason. But there may be another devotee that's doing some very simple work, and he's offering it, so that's even better. Any other questions, comments? Yes, Amala Gora. Different question? Okay, no problem. You're on the same one? Okay, wait, let's... Madhavan Puri? We may forget all the service we've done, but Krishna does not forget. Of course, he's reminding him in that... Is this in reminding me of Nisho Panishad? It's, oh my Lord, please. Yes. Yeah. Devotees, what does he say? Oh Lord, please don't forget the service I've done, the sacrifices I've done for you. And even if we don't remind Krishna, he won't. And Prabhupada won't forget also. Prabhupada won't forget. So many examples I already told in this class of how devotees who forgot Prabhupada and Krishna, at the time of death, Prabhupada came to take them. And Prabhupada didn't forget. This Pritu Putra and another one, so many. Upendra and the other one, Sudama, so many of them. They served Prabhupada so nicely. As Sudama, He was sannyasi, and before he was sannyasi, he was grihastha. And Prabhupada asked in the room, he says, "Okay, now whoever volunteers to go to Japan, I guarantee he will go back to Godhead." So Sudama raised his hand. "I volunteer." And so then later on he went away, but then at the time of his death, there was a huge Prabhupada picture on his roof. He couldn't sit up, but he was just seeing Prabhupada all the time. Huge picture of Prabhupada. And his mother, he was away from the temple and he was dying, and his mother had a dream of Prabhupada. And his mother told him, "Prabhupada wants you, go back to Prabhupada, go back to Prabhupada." And so Prabhupada, somehow or other, he comes and he takes us. And so it's very good to worship Prabhupada and Krishna. And there's a verse in Gita that Nehabhikrama Nashosti Patyavaya Navidite. This is Swapamapya Siddharmasya Trayate Mato Vayat. That this is, if you do devotional service, nothing, you'll never lose this. Yes, Tektas Svataramam Charanam Bhujam Hare. If you may give up, you may take to devotional service, even out of sentiment, Prabhupada says. And you may fall down in immature stage, but you will never be a failure. And you may perform your pious activities, the Vedas, perfectly. No, without Krishna, it's no gain. Useless. Shama eva hi kevalam. Anything, Param Karna. Flies are getting you. Vanamali. Hard to tell. Okay, Vanamali says, somehow or other, if you're just connected to Prabhupada and ISKCON, surely you will go back to Godhead. Yes, we accept the words of a great sage in our midst. Any other questions? Oh, somebody had a new question. It was Amalagora. Okay, well, what's the word in the Sanskrit? That's what we have to check. For verse 9, see what the difference is. Oh, two commas. Kamo, kamo. Double comma. Well, I guess if you really, really want to enjoy, then the others aren't enough for you. So just to make sure. Yeah, if you're just not, yeah, you don't know, but I think this will cover everything if you just worship the moon, because it's two commas. Comma, comma. Yes. What's that? Six to seven. Okay. Yeah, comma also means that. It can also mean everything, the whole world. Comma. You want the whole world. Yes, Madan Gopa. Rivers and... Oh, you got that. Okay, let's hear it. Peace. What does Prabhupada say? Right, not the person who tries to satisfy. Kama Kami. Wow. Wow. He desires to akama kami, desires to fulfill his desires. Kama kama, okay. Desires to fulfill his desires, whatever they may be. Yes. So this covers everything. If you're not sure, or if you're full of desires, just worship the moon. Is that what you're also saying, or? I don't know. I don't either. Anyway, read Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 70. To hear more about this topic. Amalagora? Okay, now are we finished with that question? Or Darshan, you had another question? Okay, so let Darshan have a turn and then I'll give you another chance. 2 through 7, yeah. One who desires tangible fame. Yes, but these verses are for not for the devotees. These are for the karmis. So even the karmis, if they want to be famous, they have to worship the Lord. It is dangerous, though. Yeah. Well, I don't know that part. Madhvendra is a devotee, the most famous person. Yes. Yes. Best. Yes, and he's making the point that it's dangerous. So the devotee, it's true that. The devotee naturally becomes famous, but And he does, but he doesn't want it. Just like Madhavendra Puri, he's the example that who was that? Gopal or Kirchar Gopinath stole some kheer for Madhavendra Puri, and the pujari came out in the middle of the night searching for Madhavendra Puri, and he was chanting in the marketplace. Nobody was there because it was night, and he said, "Oh, Madhavendra Puri, wherever you are, please come and take this. Gopinath has stolen this kheer for you." So he took it. He took the kheer and he was so happy. And what did he do then? What did he do after that? He immediately ran away, because if he'll become famous and everybody will be after him. Oh, give me this blessing, give me that blessing. Gaur Kishore, same thing. Gaur Kishore really didn't want... He was famous. He was famous as a devotee. So he sat by the latrine so people wouldn't disturb him. Yeah, Shivindavan. Fame follows the devotee everywhere. Who? Bimla Thakur? Oh, yes. Yes. They're standing at the door waiting for service. Dharma Artha Kama Moksha. But he doesn't indulge, yes. Prabhupada says the devotee has mystic powers, but he doesn't show. He has everything. He has all knowledge. He has mystic powers, but he doesn't show. Abhinandan? Yes. So in that sense, you can use fame in the service of Krishna. So you can get high connections and help your service to Krishna. So that's a very good point, how to use fame in the service of Krishna. This one question came up in one of my classes over the years. How to use, like it says, mukti is standing at your door. So how can you use mukti in the service of Krishna? That's a good question, isn't it? Amala Gora knows. Becoming peaceful and satisfied. Yes. Freed from the modes. This is a prerequisite to devotional service, okay? Pure devotional service. Yeah. Okay, that's a good answer. Yes. Yes, mukti is waiting. Okay, so what is your confusion? There's no use, she says there's no use for mukti at all. Yes. Oh, mukti is standing there because he wants your association. So don't deny mukti. He wants to serve the devotee. Yes, don't kick him away. He's also a devotee. Be merciful. Yes. What's that? Famous. Okay, we're back to fame now. So when you become famous, you have to be careful. Not only careful in your activities, there's another thing you have to be careful of too. If you become famous, what's that? Dizzy, right. Don't get dizzy. Pride. Don't get proud. If you get... Pride comes before the fall. And that's what happened to Sringi. He got proud. He got all this Brahma Tejas. And he got proud and finished. Made offense to a devotee. That's what happens. We get proud, we make offenses to devotees. Yes. Whirlpool. Yeah. The donkey. Monkey. Oh, yeah. Yes. Right. Okay. That's very good. So next time you get proud, remember this story. There's a monkey who stuck his hand in the pot to get the banana. And this is how they catch monkeys, actually. This is how they catch them. But they put a banana in a pot with a small hole. So he sticks his hand in, grabs the banana, but he can't get his hand out, but he won't let go of the banana. So that's how we are caught. If we won't let go of the banana, but we can't get our hand out then. We're stuck. So next time this happens, just get this picture in your mind. We are like that monkey, Nishingdev. It's pleasure for him. It's pleasure for him. Okay, Amalagora, you had another question? Mm-hmm. Progression in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Yes. Step-by-step process. Well, it's in the Vedas you have upasana kanda. So it means worship. So in the Upasana Kanda, there is demigod worship. So therefore, these chapters are following the Vedas. So that will be there. But then, of course, you only get like a few verses, and then immediately it says, no, just worship Krishna. Actually, this is not good. This is kama. This is less intelligent. Udarati, one who is broad-minded, he will worship Krishna even if he has material desires. Yeah. Yeah, because they have a conception of form, and they accept authority, the demigod worshippers, and they associate with the Brahmins. So then they can, and Krishna, Narayana Shila is actually there in the demigod worship. So they're worshipping indirectly. Vishaka. Upasana Kanda. Yeah, I asked Gopi Pranadana that question, and he answered and I forgot. So you'll have to ask him again. Sorry about that. Madhavendra Puri. Okay, worship the demigods as limbs of Vishnu. I think it's also mentioned in one of these purports also, to worship the demigods. If you do it properly, then it's higher. Yes. Right. So if you worship the demigods properly, if you do everything properly, it leads to devotional service. Gradually. Shivindavan. Prabhupada destroys and decimates demigod worship. Prabhupada's mood. Yes. Yes. Throughout his books, he's against demigod worship. Yeah. I'll tell you the benefit. I know one devotee. Well, actually, just in relationship to what you're saying, I was giving a class in New York Temple, and all the classes were on Lord Shiva. There were some Lord Shiva's verses. And I was saying, Lord Shiva is our guru, Vaishnavanam, Yata, Shambhu, and all that. And after the class, some Indians came up to me, and they said, you're the first person that didn't smash him. We're so happy to hear he has some good qualities, too. See, you have to be careful when you preach. But the point is how you worship. If you accept him as Madhavendra Puri said, you accept him as separate without relation to Krishna, then that's bad. If you worship, if you accept Shiva as the greatest devotee, and there's a very good example. There's one devotee in Bombay, and when he was a child, he used to worship Lord Shiva every day. He would walk to a Shiva temple 2 kilometers up a mountain to worship Lord Shiva. And after some time, then he realized that he got Prabhupada's books and he became a devotee. So it's the mercy of Lord Shiva, obviously, that he was actually worshipping Shiva properly because it led him to devotional service, that Lord Shiva is very merciful. And if you have a pure, sincere heart, then you will also, Paramkarna. Rajasthan desert. If you take bath in Pushkar, one is sure to become a devotee. 1986. Yes. See? And that's Lord Brahma's place. It's the only place practically in the world that Lord Brahma is worshipped. There's one more place, but Nishingadevi? Okay, let's hear your story. Fasted for Lord Shiva. 2 kilometers up to Lord Shiva's. He's always... Yes. So she went up there for some reason. Yes. So she came to the temple after worshiping Lord Shiva. So if you're sincere, then you will come. The demigods are very happy if you become a devotee. Yeah, Madhavendrapuri. Bhurijan Prabhu tells a story. Hong Kong, he went to Lord Shiva temple. And Manishim. Okay. Oh, so he didn't want him to tell him not to worship Lord Shiva. Right. Yeah, he should not do that. Don't discourage people. Okay. Vanamali? Personal example. Okay, we're getting a lot of nice stories here, personal realizations. Okay. Okay. You were a Shiva devotee. He couldn't believe that Shiva's taking the prasadam of Lord Krishna.
But I decided one thing.
Okay. So you feel that that was helpful? That Shiva gave you the answer? So your mother used to worship. Yes. So people in India, they're very serious about worshipping Shiva and Ganesh and these demigods. And if you're very sincere, then Shiva will give you Krishna, the best thing. Adi Purusha. Badrinath, the Yaksha. Protector of Badrinath temple. Yes. So many examples how Shiva brings you to Krishna. Personal example. Demigods. Oh, the Lord. Oh. Very sincere soul. As soon as he read that we should not bargain, he stopped. Have we all stopped bargaining with the Lord? Avinandan. Krishna book. Katyayani. Yes. Yes, the gopis do that. The sun god. That's right, yes, they're mercy. Yes. But I think Krishna sometimes appears as Surya. That's the, who they're really worshipping. Yes. I know some ladies here in Vrindavan who worship Katyayani to get a good husband. And it works. But not Krishna. Not, I mean, they worship. They follow the gopis, but not in the real sense. They actually do Katyayani Vrat. Yeah, Madhavendrapuri. Yes, $100,000 a month. You can worship Ganesh. Oh yes, Vanamali will do, yes. Shivindavan. Yes. Yes, when people are ready. Yeah. Yes. We just don't want to offend the demigods, so we appreciate them for their good qualities as devotees. Yes, Paramakarana. Your desires with, yeah. It does work out. Yes. Yes. Yes, the satisfaction comes, especially when you dovetail your own nature in Krishna's service, because that's you're happy doing that. It's very hard to do something against your own nature. Yes, yes. Shiva's devotee directed to Sanatana Goswami. Oh, yes. One devotee was asked, why did you leave Jesus Christ?
He said, no, actually, by the blessings of Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's a good one.
He took me to his father.
He took me to his father. Okay, next time somebody asks you, by the blessings of Christ, I came to Krishna. Christ took me to his father. It's very nice. Adi Purusha. Tamal Krishna Maharaj question. Aren't there any sincere devotees amongst Christians and Jews? Yes, there are. They have come here. Yes. Actually, that reminds me of a devotee was doing Sankirtan and he was preaching to a Christian, you know, really. This is in Russia, and it was very cold. It was snow and ice. He was preaching to this Christian. And then the devotee slipped and fell on the ice and he said, "Krishna." And the Christian was so impressed. He said, "Well, if I had fallen, I would have said a lot of other things." So it's like they see the Rishi Vrindavan. Go to Bhaktivedanta Swami. Oh. He has higher things. Oh, that was Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's guru. Yeah. Now, I know also one devotee was doing Ashtanga Yoga and she was almost perfect, like she was taking up the life airs up the chakras, and it got to her head, and then they stopped her because if she had done it, then she would have died, and that wouldn't have looked good for the ashram. So then, after she got out of it, then her guru said, "You better go do bhakti yoga. This is better for you. You're too sincere. Don't do this astanga." Yes. Oh, Haribol. Everybody hear that story? Sankirtan in Russia. They were knocked on the door and the person opened and said, "Oh, you came, finally." He says, "I've been reading the Bible for so many years and I've been praying for further knowledge. And last night I had a dream. Some angels came to me. They said, 'Tomorrow we'll come and we'll give you this further knowledge.' So you have come." The devotees, yes. Abhinandan. Yes, Krishna knows what's best, and he's already made all arrangements. We just have to be the instrument.
And
he's ready to fulfill.
All our desire beyond our expectations.
Yes.
We
just have to be patient. Yeah, I have that experience.
It works.
Yes, we have experience. If you're patient and you allow Krishna to do his plan, it's much more than you could have imagined in your own plan. Narsingha Devi and then Akutobhyam, yes, fearless, doubtless, and fearless. Way of success, okay? Lord Shiva, Mahabharat, Ramchandra's, yes. Why is that? Oh, not in Valmiki Ramayana. But anyway, even if it is, Prabhupada has an answer for it. Because someone asked Prabhupada that once. And Prabhupada said, "The Lord likes to worship his devotee. He likes to worship his devotees." So in this sense, he was worshiping. And just like what I said today, that he likes to keep the demigods in their position. That is, and also he was asking permission because this Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And so, you know, and it was Shiva gave his word, that gave his protection to Ravana. So then Ram asked permission, you know, "Now I'm going to, this is your devotee." So, no, he didn't ask permission. Okay. He doesn't like that answer. Sorry for that. So what was his answer?
He said that why would Shiva then let someone kill him?
He wouldn't do that. Okay. Rascal. He actually, then I remembered one lecture where what happened, Ram was killing Ravana, and then Parvati was saying to Shiva that, "Well, why don't you save him? Why don't you protect him? He's your devotee." Shiva said, I cannot. It's out of my hands." Yeah.
Even Shiva told him not to go in.
Yeah. If he had listened to his Shiva, then he wouldn't have done it. If he had listened to so many people. Just like Dhritarashtra, he had so many advisors, but he didn't listen. Yes. Okay. That's another angle. Okay, any other? I think we're already over 2 minutes. Let's stop.